Greetings and welcome, everybody. We're going to talk today about gender dysphoria, and that's a fancy term for people who want to become a different sex than they were born as. So women who want to become men or men who want to become women. That's the discussion that we want to have today, because as we look around in our culture today, especially in the Western nations, we see more examples of this each and every day. So why is this increasing? And what does the Bible have to say about it? And what are ways that we can help people who suffer from this type of thinking? Well, let's begin by talking a little bit about some recent polling data. I'm looking at the 2020 Gallup poll on this type of topic. And in 2020, they found that 5.6% of adults in the United States claimed to be lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transsexual. Now, in 2017, that number was only 4.5%. And in 2014, that number was only 3.7%. So we're seeing this 2% jump within about 6 years, which is pretty dramatic when you think about it. Another data indicator I have here is 1 in 6 adults in Generation Z, and that's the newest generation of adults, people that are 18 years of age up to about 24, people born between 1997 and 2002, right now, that would be Generation Z. The numbers there go up even more so. As I said, 1 in 6 adults in Generation Z believes they are lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transsexual. Now, I'm going to use a lot of data today from a book I read, and the book is titled Irreversible Damage by Abigail Schreier. So I just wanted to show you this book. It's a very good read. Lots of important information in there, a lot of new information in there about this phenomenon that is going on, especially among young girls, prepubescent girls, also teen girls. This seems to be a thing that is happening with them much more so than boys. There were statistics that usually this type of thinking occurred more with little boys when they were little, okay? But what we're seeing today is this is an increasing phenomenon among young girls and teen girls. So that's been the major increase in this. And Ms. Schreier gets into some of the reasons why that may be, and I'll be addressing some of those reasons today. But with anything, I think we need to get a scriptural perspective on this idea of transsexualism, transgenderism, gender dysphoria, feeling that you're in the wrong body. You know, if you're a boy, you feel that you should be a girl. If you're a girl, you feel that you should be a boy. Can we get any information from the Bible that can help us understand if this is something that is a normal thing that would happen among humans or not? We always want to go to the Bible, God's word, to try to get a baseline for what we're going to think about a subject. So looking at the Bible, I'm going to start back in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. It says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." So here we read that God creates male and female, and that's it. There are no other genders that are mentioned here. There is no a bisexual being. There is no in-between being. There is no idea that you can fluctuate between male and female, as some of our young people are doing today. Some days they feel male, some days they feel female, and this is becoming a thing within our culture. And to me, it's ridiculous. The Bible's clear that God created only two genders. Now, are there going to be problems and issues that are going to come up? No doubt about it. But we can overcome all those issues through the power of Jesus Christ. No doubt about that either. Let's look at some other scriptures just to make sure we understand this. In Genesis 3 and verse 16, we read this. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. So again, it's showing a distinction here between the sexes. Throughout the Bible, there are distinctions between the sexes. Now, I know we're living thousands of years after the Bible was written. I've got no issues with women getting jobs and things of that nature. But the Bible is clear that there are certain roles that God has preordained for males and females to fall into within the human experience. Okay, God created women to be more adept at certain things. He created men to be more adept at certain things. That's not to say that women can't do some of the things that men do, or men can't do some of the things that women do. Men, we should definitely be doing our fair share of the housework, helping with the children, things of that nature. Women sometimes have to go out, get a job to make ends meet at home. Some of them have careers outside of the home. I get all of this because we're in a different society and in a different culture. But when we begin to move away from what God has set up for men to focus on and what he set up for women to focus on, we start to get problems within our society. And again, that's another sermon, but that's not the main focus of what I'm getting at right here. But I want to focus on the fact God has created us male and female. There is no in between. There are a very small number of cases where people are born with certain sexual characteristics in their body that it's hard to determine whether they are male or female, but there are very few cases like that. And many times those cases have come around because of pre-existing conditions that have to do with hormones, that have to do with chromosomes, that have to do with different things that have happened to bodies within that line of people over the years. Some of these things are due to pollutants, maybe, that have affected our bodies and things of that nature. But these are things that mankind has done to themselves that bring about some of these cases. But even when we do have some of these anomalies, some of these cases where it's not very common, there is a decision that is made, and it's based on biological study of the body and what they can know about that individual, where they try to lead them into a male or female life. And, you know, they do the best they can with that situation. So, you know, there are always going to be one-offs here and one-offs there, situations that are not the norm. There will be things like that. But I believe through Jesus Christ, we can overcome whatever burdens have been placed on us in life and live a fulfilled life. And that's my main point, that God has created us male and female. He did not create a third gender, a fourth gender, or the idea that we can pick our gender. Now, looking at some more scriptures, just to bring this point home, and 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. Let me show you another scripture there on this male-female breakdown of roles. 1 Corinthians 11, 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So there definitely are these distinctions that God is drawing within his word in Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 25. We can read the following. It says, "Their wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might presented to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. So again, we've got these distinction between male and female, but men, you got to understand this. You're the team captain in the marriage, but that doesn't mean you're the best at everything in the marriage. That doesn't mean that you don't take the advice of your wife or listen to your wife or decide that, hey, my wife has a better idea here. We better go with that decision instead of my decision. Let's understand what God is saying here about these distinctions. Again, these are just physical distinctions. God has created male and female for specific roles on the earth for us to better understand what love is, because it's all about us getting into that kingdom and what's going to happen in that kingdom. Women are learning things by being women. Men are learning things by being men that will enhance their capabilities in that kingdom of God. And the same thing's true on earth. We need to look at our partner if we are married and understand that we work as a team, that we don't lord it over our wives. We have to work with our wives in the marriage. What you're reading here in Ephesians chapter 5 is what all these marriage books are telling you out there, that what men need is respect. If men are respected, it's easier for them to then show that love to the wife, to take care of the wife, to listen to the wife, to bring in the wife's ideas and things of that nature. So that's what you're getting in Ephesians chapter 5. Men, one of their primary needs is to be respected. Women, one of their primary needs is to be in relationship, to be connected. And we see that playing out here in how Ephesians is written, especially chapter 5, that the men have to go all out, just like Christ went all out for the church in that relationship with the wife. If the man can do that, then the wife will want to respect the husband, and then the husband will be receiving what he needs, and the wife will be receiving what she needs in their maleness and in their femaleness. So again, the point I want to make, this isn't a discussion about marriage or specifically males and females. God has made distinctions between male and female. And when we observe those distinctions and try to follow those distinctions, we are going to live an easier life than if we're not following those distinctions. And that's one of the problems, I think, that many in the transgender community fall into. And I'll be reading some of their stories today, or bits of their stories, where they went full circle. They started out wanting to change their gender. And when they finally changed their gender, again, many of these people turned around and realized that that wasn't what they should have done, that it was a terrible mistake. Not all people are saying that in the transgender community. I get that. But that doesn't mean that they are right, okay? The Bible is my standard for deciding right and wrong. There are many people running around in the world today doing all kinds of things that go against the Bible, and they think they're doing the right thing. And we know, those of us who believe the Bible, that they aren't doing the right thing. So many people who are happy with their transgender life, again, I think some of them are not, and those that are just living in a way that they don't have an awareness of what is going on. That's how deep deception can go, that you can be doing the wrong thing and think that it is the right thing. But let me give you just a couple more scriptures before we start to get into the actual transgender dilemma here. And I want to turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 11, 1 Timothy 2 and 11, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Okay, so again, this is just giving distinctions. There were probably reasons why within the church environment they were going to learn in silence. Again, this isn't a discussion of male and female roles in church or anything like that. I'm not going to get into the specifics of this and what it could mean. other than to say, I just want to show you this distinction here in roles within the Bible. We see it also in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. It says there, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. So again, just showing, hey, wives, you know, do this, wives, do that. Husbands, be aware of this. Husbands, be aware of that. So the point I'm making here is distinctions between male and female, male and female, male and female. There is no other role, a gender role mentioned in the Bible. Galatians 3:28. Let's take a look at one other example here. And this is a little bit different. Galatians 3:28 says this. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. And again, this is showing that within Christ, these distinctions of male and female, et cetera, they fall away because in the kingdom, we're all going to be spirit beings. There is going to be no male and female, okay? So it's showing that that distinction needs to be understood only here in the physical life. When we get into the kingdom life, when we start dealing with our sisters and brothers within the church, we need to have a respect, a mutual respect one for the other. Men don't lord it over women. Men don't control women. Men don't run around being in charge, especially those of you that understand what eldership is all about. We're servants. We're servants to the congregation. Just like a husband should be serving his wife, should be trying to love his wife in such a way that she's going to respect him. So again, keep these things in mind. The point I want to make here in Galatians 3:28 is it mentions there's neither male nor female. It doesn't mention a third gender. It doesn't mention non-binary, where you feel like you're a male one day and feel like you're a female another day. Okay, it's just male and female according to the biblical record. All right, so I want to set that all up from what the Bible is saying before I get into what I'm going to say in the remainder of this sermon. But one last scripture, there are a number of scriptures that speak against homosexuality, whether it's lesbianism or whether it's male homosexuality. There aren't very many scriptures that speak about transgenderism, except for one. But remember, there are a lot less transgender people in the world than there are homosexual people. So the Bible was well aware of that, too. That's why the Bible speaks more against homosexuality than transgenderism, but it wasn't as much of a problem, I believe, back at this time as it is today, and it is growing today. But notice one scripture, at least in Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5, we read the following, Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5, it says this, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God." So again, you can read various commentaries on this scripture. There's a lot of different ideas about it. Some think this might have had to do with pagan rituals that were performed by the pagans living around the nation of Israel as it came into the wilderness and was going into the land of Canaan. But most commentators, when they look at this scripture, they are emphasizing the fact that God is trying to make a distinction between maleness and femaleness, that men shouldn't be wearing female clothing, women should not be wearing male clothing, etc., etc. Now, this is cultural specific. We can think back to the ancient Scots, and they wore kilts, and they still wear kilts today. That was part of their culture, that this is a normal garment that a man would wear in that particular culture. When we go to the Pacific Islands, we may see men wearing certain things that they wouldn't wear in a Western culture country like the United States. So again, there are going to be differences within specific cultures on what is male attire and what is female attire. But keeping that all in mind, the Bible is making this point here that males should wear the male clothing and females should wear the female clothing. Now, again, that's not to say that a woman can't wear a pantsuit. That's a normal thing that women wear today. It's a fashionable thing, and everybody knows that's women's clothing that women are wearing. So again, we're not going to get into the specifics of all of that today, other than to make this point that there is a scripture here in God's law about males being males and females being females, and never the twain shall turn to the other side is the point of this scripture, at least in my opinion. So I just wanted to show you some scriptures from the Bible on how we should understand sexual roles within society. And now we're going to turn to some of the problems within society today when we look at gender dysphoria, transgenderism, as was the more fashionable term years ago. What is causing transgenderism? Well, let me just give you some facts to get rolling here. 80 to 95%, let me repeat that, 80 to 95% of kids who say they are transgender, gender dysphoric, who think that, hey, I feel like I should be a girl even though I'm in a boy's body. Hey, I think I should be a guy even though I'm in a girl's body. 80 to 95% of children who express a problem with this in puberty or during their teen years, they resolve that conflict by the time they become adults. 80 to 95% of them resolve the conflict. So this is a thing, okay? We've got all kinds of mental issues that we have as adults. All of us suffer from some type of mental problem to one degree or another. As my friend Wayne Hendricks used to say, we're all a little bit crazy, just some to more degrees than others, okay? And I mean that in the nicest way, okay? What I'm saying is we all have troubling thoughts from time to time, okay? Bad thoughts, angry thoughts that we don't act on, okay? But we have those thoughts. The difference is some people, when they have these thoughts, begin to act on them. They never resolve them, and they make decisions based on those feelings. Others are able to temper those thoughts and not do things based on those feelings. But we all have these thoughts and feelings, okay? And they're various to in degrees, okay? Some people don't have the thoughts that I have. Other people have thoughts that I don't have. So please understand, everybody doesn't deal from the same mental issues or thoughts, but we all have thoughts that are not normal, okay? And we need to resolve those thoughts, and some people don't. They go in a certain direction, make decisions for their life based on those wrong thoughts. So moving forward now, a little bit about children and their thoughts. Their gender identity is plastic and elastic. If you talk to the experts in the field, that a little boy might feel, oh, I want to play with dolls. Oh, I want to act like a little girl. That doesn't mean that we should tell the little boy, oh, that's great. Yeah, if you want to be a girl, be a girl. Okay, we don't need to push those thoughts forward, okay? But the thoughts of little boys and girls are plastic and elastic. Some little girls like to play with trucks and get into fights and things of that nature, okay? But over time, as these children see how other children are acting, as they see how their parents are acting, as they learn the cues within society, then they start resolving these issues in their mind and start working out that they're a male or they're a female as they become and grow in society. But 80 to 95% of them who have these thoughts resolve the thoughts and become the male that they are or the female that they are. Now, what about the ones that don't? What about the ones that don't, which is a smidgen of the population, okay? I think that some estimates are out there that homosexuality is, you know, 2%. I've heard as high as 5%. I don't hold to that 5% figure. I think it's much closer to 2%. but the transgender population is much less than 2%. Many of the figures I've seen are below 1%. It's a 0.00-something percent, okay? So when we look at this, what society is doing today is they're promoting these ideas of transgenderism. What we're seeing today with the use of cell phones, with the use of the internet, is we've got influencers on the internet who have become transgender, and they are pushing that agenda out to the public. And because everyone has a cell phone, everyone has a computer, everybody watches YouTube or whatever, they are seeing these ideas coming to the forefront within society like they've never come to the forefront before. So children who are dealing with mental issues, anxiety, depression, why am I feeling this way? And they see someone who tells them, well, I felt that way, and this is what I did. I changed my gender, and it made all the difference in the world for me. That is part of the reason why we're seeing an uptick in these numbers of transgenderism. Now, that's not the only reason. Another point, point number two, is many parents no longer have a biblical understanding. They're not reading their Bibles. They're not going to church. You can look at the statistics on this in the Western countries of the world, and you'll see that there's a downtick in biblical knowledge, a downtick in people who claim to be Christian. So when your kid expresses these feelings to you, you don't negate it. You enhance it, at least for some of these parents. They're saying, oh, maybe that's what you should be. And they're reinforcing what the kid is thinking. And you can see videos on YouTube that show you that the parents are supporting this. A third point, schools are supporting it. You have transgender days in school now where they're promoting transgenderism. They're talking about the fact that you can't speak negatively of children who are feeling these things. They are letting children in schools change their names and not telling the parents that we're calling Johnny Jackie in school because Johnny feels like he's a girl, and we want him to promote that feeling in the school environment so he doesn't feel bad. Where the parents at home may know nothing about how the school is promoting this idea for the child in the school environment. And finally, psychiatrists, psychologists, doctors are promoting this more and more than they ever have in the past. We've got psychiatrists where a child will come to them, say an 11 or 12-year-old girl saying, I feel like I should be a boy. And the psychiatrist will go along with those ideas rather than try and look below the surface. Why is this girl feeling this way? Because this is not normal to change your gender. If you're born female, you're a female, okay? Just because you've got feelings that you're struggling with right now doesn't mean you can't overcome those feelings. And many, many, many of these children do overcome those feelings. But if you promote this opposite idea that, oh, it's no big deal to change your gender, and then the doctors who then perform these operations or give the children estrogen or female hormones if they want to be a female and they're a male, or testosterone or male hormones if they're a female and they want to be a male. When they get those hormones, they feel different. Believe me, folks, they feel different. I've read some of these books I've been doing the research on where the girls feel really good about getting that testosterone. And they say, I don't have any issues in my head anymore. I got clear thinking. Well, why is that? Because of the drug, because of testosterone. That's why it's easier for guys to get past things and move along in a general sense, because of that testosterone in the male body. It's why it's more difficult for females, because they've got different hormones coursing through their bodies to a greater degree. Okay? But that's what makes us male and female. And that's why God made us male and female. So those differences can work together and learn what love is, and and work in society as God would want us to work. But when we start messing around with the biology inside of us, we're going to create more problems for society and for that individual than are already there. So again, these are some of the reasons why we see an uptick in transgenderism within Western societies. Now listen to this. This is by a quote from Dr. Michelle Cretella. She says this: the repeated behavior of impersonating a girl alters the structure and function of a boy's brain in some way, potentially in a way that will make identity alignment with his biologic sex less likely. Add to this the medical suppression of puberty, making it harder for children to get back to their original sex once they begin taking these drugs. If we promote the idea that, hey, you can be a female if you're a male, or you can be a male if you're a female, and we let kids start thinking, oh, I can be a male if I'm a female, the more they start thinking about that, the more that rewires their brain to think that's the direction they should go. Okay? So we are helping them along the way. These are children, folks. Children. We don't let children tell adults what they should believe about society. The adults are usually telling the children what they should believe about society. Now, we need to do this in a loving way. Okay, we need to bring along our children and help them understand this truth in a loving way. So let's understand that, fathers and mothers out there, on how you're dealing with this issue, if this is an issue. But please get expert advice on this. And there are many counselors out there who still believe that males are males and females are females, who will help a child understand that and get at the underlying root cause of what some of these problems are. Now, what are some of these underlying root causes? Well, again, as I said, some are biological, but biological also has to do with temperament. Now, most boys are generally more active than little girls. Some boys are opposite of this, and so are some girls. Okay, you've heard of tomboys and boys who are, you know, a little bit more effeminate as they're boys. Okay, that doesn't mean that they aren't going to be males. It just means that they act a little more effeminate at times. Nothing wrong with that. That's part of the big picture here of all of the experiences that little boys and little girls can have. So they may tend to relate more as their little boys and girls to the opposite sex. So boys who have a more genteel temperament might feel more attuned to the girls at their school, okay? And girls who are more tomboyish might feel more attuned to boys at school and wanting to play with the boys. That's not a problem yet, okay? Over time, the boys are going to start playing with the boys when they realize that, hey, there's other boys that are more sensitive. There's other boys that are more artistic. And so we need to show our little boys that, hey, if you're artistic, that's okay. There's other boys that are artistic. If you're girls and you're into athletics and things of that nature, that's okay. There are other girls who are rough and tumble like that, and they are girls, okay? So we need to keep that in mind. But here's another thing to keep in mind is that once you see these indications, you need to do some work as a parent, okay? You need to be talking to the boy who is seemingly more effeminate. You need to be talking to the girl who is seemingly more male-oriented, and not to take away from a girl who's a tomboy playing with the boys and running around and doing what she's doing. That's perfectly fine. Not to take away from the boy who's more artistic or more genteel. Okay, that's okay. There are sensitive males in society who are males, okay? But you just want to take note of that as an adult and just try to have the little boy understand that he's a little boy, and some boys are rough and tumble, and maybe he's not, and that's okay. There are other boys who are like him, and let's meet some of these other boys and, you know, get into activities that you see other boys doing artistic things and things of that nature. And the same thing with the girls. So just take note of it and acknowledge it and be with it, but watch it, watch it. Don't promote that because you're a little girl and you like to fight with the boys that you're a boy, okay? And the vice versa with the little boys acting and doing things that little girls might be more in tune with. Another thing about this is some children have a delayed understanding of gender, okay? All children develop at different rates. Some say that girls develop quicker than boys, and in a general sense, that's true. But there are boys developing different than other boys in understanding gender roles. So we need to be cognizant of that also. And again, as a parent, you need to be taking in these cues and trying to help your little boy or little girl along understanding what maleness is and what femaleness is. But just understand that one little boy, I read a story about, he said he wanted to be a girl because he didn't like it that the boys sweated more, okay? Another 8-year-old boy wanted to be a girl because he thought girls were treated better by teachers and parents. So again, little boys, 5, 6, 7, they can get these wacky ideas in their head. Oh, I want to be a girl because I'm looking around at school and the teacher's always treating the girls better, okay? Which may happen sometimes, okay? And so a boy gets an idea in his head, oh, if I was a girl, I would be treated better. So again, you want to talk to your kids about what's going on in their head and try to resolve these matters for them as they're progressing through their childhood. Another reason that this happens is, for probably the biggest reasons, mental disorders, real mental disorders, anxiety, depression, autism. Okay, some autistic kids, they focus on something tremendously. Okay, that's part of the spectrum of autism. So they can focus tremendously on a female, or that, hey, maybe I should be a girl, and then that takes over their whole thinking, okay? Or a girl who's got autism might focus tremendously on being a boy, and then that takes over her thinking. So again, we can resolve those things with guidance, with talking, but knowing what autism is and some of the things that can happen with autistic kids, we need to be aware of that. Anxiety, depression, two of the big ones. A lot of little kids, because they come from broken homes, because they've experienced trauma as a child, will have anxiousness, will have depression. And again, we've got to understand that, know about it, and then get them help, get them counseling to resolve that issue in their mind so they don't think that, hey, this is going to be resolved if I was to change my gender, which is what happens to some of these children, believe it or not. They get obsessed with these ideas. They see influencers talking about these ideas, and they go down the path that leads to destruction for many of them. Again, anxiety, depression, and then they can magnify this and look for a way out of it. For some, it leads to homosexual activity. For some, it leads to transgender. For some, it leads to suicide. For some, it leads to acting out. It leads to other manifestations and other problems within the spectrum of mental disorder. Again, all these things can be resolved. We got many, many people in adulthood who've come full circle and realized that they went down this road of transgenderism for the wrong reasons, and they've turned it all around and come all the way back. Another thing that causes kids to get into this are family issues. Let me give you an example of this. There was a boy at age 4 who wanted to be a girl for a year before his visit to a particular doctor. What the doctor found out when the boy came to visit and he began to counsel him was that the boy's behavior in wanting to be a girl began to manifest when his mother had a little girl baby sister. His mom was characterized as narcissistic, and his dad was often absent from the home, working 18-hour days, 7 days a week. So what happened was his mother had this volatile personality. She was very intense and anxious. And when she looked at her son as being the perfect little boy, but then when she had the daughter and the son was now acting out and wanting to act like a little girl to get more of his mother's attention, the mother was totally put off by that and began to put more attention on the daughter. And this caused the son to react and wanting to get that attention from the mother. Remember, the kid's 5, 6, 7 years old, all right? He doesn't understand things completely yet. He wants to get that mother's attention back, so he thinks one way to do it is to act like the little girl, wear pink clothes, cry, act like my little baby sister is acting in order to get my mother's attention back. And the doctor realized this, helped the boy resolve this issue in his mind. He was feeling abandoned by his mom, who was more invested in the little sister. And then the little boy was focusing on being female due to this abandonment and jealousy issue he was having with his sister. I could go on many, many examples I've read in the literature just like that or similar to that as to why people have gotten into the transgenderism. Now, there have been recent increases in diagnosis of transgenderism. And again, the media is promoting this. You're seeing articles all the time now within social media, within the print media, of things like take Caitlyn Jenner. Okay, Bruce Jenner, the ultimate athlete in 1976, he wins the Olympic decathlon. Okay, that's as male as you can get, right? He wins the malest thing at the Olympics, being able to perform better in these 10 events than any other human being, male or female. Of course, he beat all these other males at this very manly thing. And he comes all the way around in his later life to want to present himself as a female. I forget if he's had all the operations yet or not. He may have by now. And he is considered female, at least from a cultural perspective. But, he had a TV show about this. It was popularized in the media. So when we see big personalities like this, it becomes to normalize this activity within the culture. And again, I'm not saying all people think it's normal, but when a big figure like that makes it and does it, it becomes more normalized, it becomes more popular, and it becomes an example for other people. So again, as I said, we're seeing schools promoting this amongst 13 and 14 year olds, letting them feel like they are females if they're a male, or males if they're a female. Psychiatry again is normalizing this, as I said earlier. But I want to reiterate it that, we used to call this a mental disorder, but now psychiatrists are not saying that it is a mental disorder. But wait a minute, let's think about something like anorexia nervosa. And I want to get into this book, Irreversible Damage, right now about young women. We have this problem called anorexia nervosa, where all these girls would starve themselves because they had this idea in their mind, if they were thin, that they would be more popular, that was the cultural way of being as a female, which is ridiculous. And so many girls fell into this anorexia nervosa, which is a mental illness. We can see that many of the girls today who are falling into transgenderism were similar to these girls who fell into anorexia nervosa. There are cliques of little girls, 13, 14-year-old girls, who are trying to help their little friend who is dealing with these feelings of anxiety or depression, and the little friend begins to think that maybe she should change her gender, that is going to help her resolve the anxiety and depression that she's experiencing. And so her little girlfriends who are trying to be there for her, who are trying to help her. And again, girls are more help-oriented than boys are, and form into closer-knit cliques than boys do in a general sense. So again, the girls take on this emotional contagion from the other little girl. And in order to support her, some of these girls then begin to feel that they are gender dysphoric, that maybe they should be the other gender. And then that supports their little friend to an even greater degree. So you're seeing this phenomenon taking place throughout the United States today, where little cliques of girls are saying that they are transgender or gender dysphoric. They have these feelings. And part of the reason is it's because they are catching this emotional contagion from their little girlfriend. And it's moving throughout this little clique of girls. And this phenomenon has not been seen by psychiatrists until recently, because of all these things coming out in our culture today promoting this type of activity. And as I said before, 85% of children resolve these issues by the time they become adults. And then finally, parents, you got to do your job. Less and less parents are going to church. Less and less parents are reading their Bible and don't know that there are distinctions between male and female. Our culture, Western culture, is promoting the idea that females can do anything males can do, and males can do anything females can do. And it doesn't matter what gender you are, and gender distinctions are an old-fashioned thing. Well, that's not what the Bible says, okay? And if you believe your Bible and you want to follow God, then you want to try to live these gender distinctions to the best of our ability, to keep those traditional male roles and female roles as much as we can. I know women have to work a second job to make ends meet. I know there are brilliant women who are scientifically minded and can be engineers and are good at mathematics. Go for it, okay? Get a job in that mathematics field. Get a job in that scientific field. But if you get married and have children, please understand what your role is as a mother. Please understand what your role is as a father, and try to live those biblical roles for your children, because it will help your family. That doesn't mean you can't get a job outside of the house or anything like that, but pay heed to those biblical roles of male and female. What we got going on today, again, please read that book by Abigail Shire. It gets into a lot of information. I'm writing a booklet on this subject that we'll be promoting in the church hopefully next year. And here's one thing I want to make sure we all understand as we look at this problem today, that we've got to have a compassionate response to these little boys and little girls, or teen boys and teen girls, who are going through this problem. We've got to counsel them. We've got to work with them. We've got to try to help them resolve this problem in a loving way. And let me emphasize, in a loving way. You don't want to come down on your children. You don't want to beat on your children. You don't want to do these types of things that are going to push your children away from you. You want to do this in a loving way. You want to get proper counseling for your children to help them resolve these issues in their mind and find out why they are having these issues. And I just want to show you a couple scriptures to point out this compassion, which is the example of Jesus Christ. That's why we want to have this compassionate response, have empathy for kids who are going through this, because Christ was a man of empathy. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 20, it says, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory." This is talking about Christ's ministry, and it says he wasn't going to bruise any reeds or snuff out any candles. So again, the time for Christ to bring judgment is in the future. The time right now is not for judgment. The time right now is to work and counsel and give the biblical principles to our children so they understand them, to help them resolve these issues. And if that doesn't work and they go down another path, you want to maintain that relationship, because there's always hope with Jesus Christ. There's always hope. People can always come back. And I'm going to read you a little bit about that in a moment. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says this: Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Again, kids suffering from anxiety, depression, they need Jesus Christ in their life. They need God's Holy Spirit to come upon them and help them resolve these issues, resolve these problems. We can do all things through Jesus Christ. And finally, Matthew 9 and verse 36 says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. So he had compassion on the multitudes. He has compassion on all people. That's why he came and died for us, for all sins, folks, for all sins. We don't want to make this topic into a joke. This isn't a funny matter. Okay, this is a serious matter, and we want to try to help and counsel anyone who suffers from this. I want to read you one excerpt from another good book on this subject, When Harry Became Sally, and this is by Ryan T. Anderson. I'm going to read you an excerpt from a person who transitioned into another sex and then realized that it was a major mistake, and then transition back to the original sex. Listen to what she says about why this happens for many of these people. We transition for a lot of different reasons. Many of us transition due to trauma. We live through events terrible enough that it damaged our sense of self, and so we created a new self to cope and survive. That self was our trans or male or genderqueer identity. We transition because we got raped, because we're incest survivors, because we faced violence for being lesbians, because we were locked up in psych wards, because one of our parents killed themselves. We also live in a patriarchy that hates women and attacks female bodies constantly. Now, again, that's her perspective, but we do live in a society that promotes women should look like this and women should be this. And again, that is being promoted by the internet to a great degree. Whatever trauma we live through typically had something to do with being a woman. Sometimes bad things happen to us for being female in a culture where women are violated every day. And sometimes bad things happen because we're the wrong kind of woman. So again, this is her perspective on why many of her and people she knew transitioned from being a woman into a male, and then she transitioned back to being a woman. Again, she's not a believer in the Bible or anything like that, so we may not agree with all of her statement here, but definitely she gives many of the reasons why some of these young people begin to get into this type of activity. So one final little story I want to give you in closing. My niece is in college, and she was having dinner with us once, and she was talking about a class in college where they were learning about transgenderism and how to understand transgenderism and things of that nature. So what the college class was promoting was that this was another avenue of people, that it's not normal, that this is just what some people do. This is part of the human experience. And the way I reacted to it was, I didn't say, oh my goodness, that's terrible. That's terrible what this class is teaching. I very calmly began to talk to her about a book that I had read. And again, it's the book Irreversible Damage by Abigail Schreier, that explains this phenomenon to a great degree as to why this is happening, why there's an increase of it in society. I began to explain to her what the Bible has to say about male and female roles. There aren't third genders. There aren't all these variations between male and female. And I did it calmly and quietly. I didn't tell her, oh, this is terrible, what the class is teaching. I just told her that I disagree with what the class is teaching. Let me tell you what Abigail Schreier's research is showing. Let me tell you what Ryan T. Anderson said in his book, When Harry Became Sally. So that's how we need to react to this problem. We don't need to get emotional and get sensationalist about it. We need to get real about it and honest about it. Understand what the Bible says about the genders. Understand why this phenomenon is happening in the Western nations to a greater degree today. And then fight against this phenomenon, because it is another piece of Satan's deception that he's bringing on humanity, trying to break down the human family. This is yet another way that he's attacking God's plan to have children, to increase his family, because many of these people, when they transition to become a female if they were male, or to become a male when they were female, when they get to the other side and realize they made a mistake, some of them can't come back to the other side and really be a true female and really be a true male, because the operations that they've done to their body have damaged their sexual organs to such a degree that they no longer can be a true male or a true female. So again, this is yet another point to bring out in this discussion on this issue. We could go on and on about this, but my time is up for today. So I hope that we've all learned something and that we can use this knowledge in the future.